guys, one girl. Tom Savage. Tom Savage.
So uncreative a song. I hate this song. I listen to the Mad Radio podcast all the time, Seth Payne.
Why do you
hate
this
song? I hate
There's
it.
Just a couple kids out of Wisconsin that
not surprising.
Took a shine to Tom Savage. They actually bought a Tom Savage jersey to shoot the music video.
Okay,
for this.
But there's nothing more.
What's uncreative about it?
It's just two guys, one girl, Tom Savage.
It's a freaking YouTube song. It wasn't like a top 40 song or anything.
Yes, well, the Galanda Knight radio
sorry,
program.
Sorry about all the creative dribble we put out for four hours a day. It's so amazing.
I do. Want to hear my albums? Want to hear all my rap songs?
They came up with their own beat, at least. They're not just singing karaoke like you do. You do some fine karaoke. Listen, I'm not knocking
karaoke.
I'm not knocking you. What my ass?
They're originals. They're originals.
No, they're original lyrics. Oh, I'm sorry. You do a good Weird Al Yankovic.
Kanye West.
It's a really good Weird Al Yankovic.
Yes. Kanye West uses samples. Paul's just using samples. It's original content.
No, he's not sampling. He's singing along to the actual music. He's not doing anything creative to it. And it's very well.
He's writing fantastic lyrics.
Don't knock the two guys, one girl, Tom Savage, guys.
Oh, wow.
It's catchy.
Two guys, two girls, one cup. Two guys, one girl, Tom Savage. How do they link?
It's not supposed to make any sense, dude. Dude, what the hell? What, you're way overanalyzing this.
I'm not overanalyzing
it. Jealousy won't allow you to just
enjoy
goofy little stupid two guys, one girl, Tom Savage.
See, you said it's stupid.
I don't have a clue what. Of course it's stupid, but I don't criticize it. Like, there's something catchy about it. But if you spend your life criticizing other people's musical tastes or whatever they find interesting, you'll never be satisfied.
Okay, but what about criticizing their actual execution of music?
Okay, go ahead and tell me exactly what's wrong with that execution music from musical expert.
It is two guys, one girl, yeah. Tom Savage. What?
As opposed to all the multiple other pop songs that make so much sense. And this is just something we play on our station because it's goofy and stupid.
Believe me.
It's admittedly goofy and stupid. And you don't like that we play it because we like it because it's goofy and stupid. Play this as a bed the entire damn show. Just to shut. Gallant's going to come in here and he's going to be like, well, listen, I like to respectable musical artists like Bruce Springsteen. You're not going to make it in sports radio unless you love Bruce Springsteen.
I like respectable artists like myself. I'm a warrior poet. I put out fantastic rap songs on the Gallant and Knight radio program. 7 to 11 every single night on Sports Radio 610.
I'm going to sit here and let you disparage because you two things. Yesterday, you did the same damn thing that everybody did with Case Keenum. Where you love to say, Tom Savage cannot play in this league. No way, no sir.
He is a quarterback of a lost generation.
But you look to act like he no.
A
statue quarterback. Not every quarterback has to be Deshaun Watson.
I'm not saying that
they
have to be Deshaun Watson, but you have to be able to move around a little bit, don't you? With all the offensive line,
ideally you'd like to be able. We're not talking about Tom Savage being a starting quarterback necessarily.
But I think with the offensive, the 32nd ranked offensive line in the National Football League, you probably want to have something better.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. Are all offensive lines 32nd ranked offensive lines now in the league? I didn't realize that's what the
okay.
Trend.
Well, guess what? The people that I talked to, Seth, they said it's the worst in the NFL.
Right. That's my damn point. You just said, well, he can't play behind the 32nd ranked offensive line, so he can't play behind any offensive line.
Okay, but if the Texans are looking at it from the perspective of, hey, we need to have somebody behind him that actually can move behind a bad
offensive line. No. Look at what you just did. You went from the entire league, all 32 teams, and saying that the reason he can't play for all 32 teams is because the Texans' offensive line is bad. I'm asking you, why would you so easily and cavalierly say, well, he can't play anywhere?
How many good offensive line situations are there in the league where he's going to fall in there and he is not going to get sacked 3-4 times a game?
I would say at least half of them.
Okay,
are going to be. You know, I mean, you're better than the Texans from last year. About 28 of them. And like, I'm not sitting here saying that Tom Savage is going to be Aaron Rodgers. I'm just saying, like, don't be the D-bag that sits here and be like, nah, this guy's a bum. This guy can't play. This guy does nothing.
He's a quarterback from a past age. He's like Drew Bledsoe, man. That doesn't work anymore.
All right. So anyway.
By the way, there's a poll up on the at Sports Radio 610. Chase Daniels signing with the Bears, which means that the backup quarterback market is getting thinner and thinner for the Texans. Who would you like to see backup Deshaun Watson in 2018? Matt Moore, Tom Savage, or other? The results thus far, 48% other, 39% Matt Moore, 13% Tom Savage. Vote.
Yeah.
Vote or die.
And I'm not sitting here stumping for Tom Savage. I think he needs to move on.
You kind of are.
No. I despise, like, when people sat here and acted like there is no way Case Keenum could ever play in the NFL again. And there's been a surprising, lack of contrition by hosts that said such things like 3 years ago, where they said, like, nope, he's not, doesn't even belong in the NFL. Doesn't even belong in the NFL.
Look, my opinions have evolved. A guy like Carson Palmer, a guy like Tom Savage, I feel like it is very difficult for those guys to succeed because they have to have a perfect offensive line in front of them. I think there are a lot of bad offensive lines in the league, and the Texans happen to have
I'm not telling you not to have strong opinions. I'm just I'm always shocked by how easily people say that somebody can't play in the NFL.
I'm just saying, like,
no matter how many times they're wrong about it, I'm surprised that they'll say he simply can't play in the NFL.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that type of quarterback can't play in the NFL anymore. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
You're saying he can't play in the NFL.
That type of quarterback can't.
So you are saying he cannot play in the NFL.
Yes.
Right, okay. I got you, just to be clear.
Yes.
I just want to be sure. We'll write that down.
Get someone who can move around.
Like, Matt Schaub was still in the league as of last year. Matt Schaub, who he once was able to move relatively well, now he can't move.
But
there is a place for Matt Schaub. Like, there is a place for backup quarterbacks in the NFL. You realize that,
yes,
right?
But
like, not every backup quarterback
has
to be a guy that can run around all over the place.
You don't want the backup quarterback playing in a game, but Matt Schaub, at the very least, has the veteran experience of having been a starting quarterback in the league, and I would like to have a guy like that in my quarterback meetings every single week. I don't know if I ever want him on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some backup quarterbacks where you're like, okay, hey, throw him in. And look, the Texans, that is something that they're going to have to look and address. By the way, the moves that the Texans have made, Aaron Colvin, the cornerback, slot corner from the Jacksonville Jaguars, they bring him in. They also brought in a couple of offensive linemen who we are going to get to know in just a little bit, Shontrell Henderson. And on top of that, I keep on forgetting his first name, Zach Fulton.
Yeah.
Zach Fulton. But real quickly, Dwayne Brown was on the NFL Network talking with one Lindsey Rhodes. And look, we go back to him leaving the Houston Texans. You've heard the Arian Foster podcast that he did, the Now What podcast, where he went in. And I honestly changed my perspective a little bit on Dwayne Brown leaving the Texans. But this is something that he clearly is not walking away from. He was asked about if he would have a problem with the Texans going after a tackle. It was a lighthearted conversation, but it didn't last as a lighthearted conversation. Here's the audio.
I've heard some names floated to that particular team, and I'm wondering if you would be offended if they signed a big money free agent on the offensive line.
You got to do something. I mean, you know, you have to pay talented offensive linemen a certain amount. I don't think my departure.
I mean, they could draft somebody, right? Like,
they could draft somebody.
I guess what I'm getting at is, if you're going to pay somebody, why not pay you?
Why didn't they just
pay
you?
Well, I don't think it was as simple as just the dollars. I think, like we spoke just now, me being a little bit outspoken about issues that were outside of the building as well as inside, combined with the dollars, was the factors that kind of led to me departing.
I want to go in super detail on Dwayne Brown. I'll just say this. It would be easier if they had Dwayne Brown right now. But, Seth, you made a good point about Dwayne Brown going into the break.
Well, I made a good point going into the break, and then I kind of rethought it, because everybody gets so heightened. The emotions get so heightened when you start talking about this. There was an evolution in terms of how Dwayne Brown viewed the two issues of, okay, how did the Texans handle me while I was raising my fist during the national anthem? And he was willing to look beyond some of the objections he had to things the organization had done. By the time he came back, you remember the boiling point, the fervor that it was at that moment, where Dwayne Brown had come back, and then Bob McNair made the comments about the inmates running the asylum, or excuse me, the prisoners running the asylum. Like, I've got a whole different set of feelings about that, and how that was like I personally feel like that was so overblown, the reaction to that, because of the context of everything else.
He used the situation to get out.
Aside of that, yeah, in that specific situation, I think that was where Dwayne decided to go scorched earth, and partly because idealistically that's the way he felt. But I think at that point he also felt like, okay, previously when I started this holdout, maybe I had some reservations about the ownership, but I still want to play for the Texans. I think by the time they got to that point and the holdout had gone on so long, it's probably fair to say that, yeah, the Texans were fed up with him as he was fed up with the Texans, and it was more than just his playing ability at that time. I still do think that I think Dwayne Brown, though, was personally insulted more than he should have been by the fact that the Texans didn't want to extend a 30-some-year-old guy who had 2 years left on his contract. And that it's not the same as extending a younger guy that you're trying to extend on through his prime years, like with J.J. Watt, if you extend Whitney Mercer or somebody like that. It's just different when it's a guy at the end of his career. Different than it is with Andre Johnson, who when the Texans redid his deal was still relatively young, still in the prime of his career, and had a definitively bad deal that he signed with an agent that shouldn't have been negotiating his deal. Like, there were extenuating circumstances there. So I think that it seems like that feeling of being personally insulted by that carried over into everything else. Yeah, I everything else.
At 32, 33 years old, would Dwayne Brown probably paying a little bit less for his services? Would it be better than, you know, this waiting game for Nate Solder, who's 29 years old, turning 30 in a month? Yes. But this is the situation that we're in right now.
You know what I got to say? Well, we got derailed big time at the beginning of this segment. Just you know what this is? This is what happens. It's because you do a solo show in the evening, and you're used to being able to take a little drive-by like, hey, that song sucks, and move on, where you insulted a staple of the show. So you can't insult a staple of the show and then just dive right into something else.
I insult several staples of other shows on this station as well.
Right. But when the person that like whose show you're insulting is sitting right in front of you, like it's going to get derailed.
You can't just Matt Hammond your way
and like say something that's relatively controversial and then just move on.
Yeah, but
and be like, hey, I'm gonna insult your show and then we'll move on and get into this other hot topic.
It's not controversial. That song's not creative. I've said it once. I said it again. I'll say it till the end of time.
All I'm saying is this. I'm not apologizing for derailing early on.
Okay, I'm not apologizing for my take.
You're not going to just sit here. I know, but you're not. I want you to understand. If you say stuff like that, we're going to get derailed. It's going to be like, hey, your show sucks. I'm giving you an extreme example, just as you will say extreme things about young artists from Wisconsin that are trying to just sing about Tom Savage.
Mad Radio Sports Radio 610. That is Seth Payne. I am Paul Gallant in for Mike Meltzer. What is Aaron Colvin? What is he going to bring to the Houston Texans when he comes in? Could he potentially play on the outside? What is he as a slot corner? We're going to talk to Tony Wiggins of 92.5, the home of the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville, Florida. Next, don't go anywhere.